Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Submit one large ask to Triumph and the various funding agencies for the port projects. The strategy right now is to break those projects into smaller phased projects to more efficiently attract funding. One of the primary reasons for doing this is that most of these grantors have specific metrics that are tied to the granting of funds and the keeping of those funds.
So this is our grants director now for the city of Pensacola, Eric Garancagnolo. I'm always going to butcher her name. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. But this is part of the project. You know, the D.C. Reeves said when he came into office that instead of going to Triumph with big, fat asks for everything that are all in one pot, instead ask for the little pieces that you think that you can do. And then you can show Triumph, hey, this is working, give us more. And then you do a little bit more. And you say, hey, Triumph, this is working, give us more. And this is one of them. This is the American Magic Project on the port.
The project, as it stands right now, is to renovate and finish out the existing partially complete Warehouse 10. We have a construction estimate for $11 million for that. American Magic has requested a 50-foot addition so that they can best utilize the space for their boat design and production activities.
So we're talking about, and you know, this is the warehouse. This is, and I know if you don't know the port layout, like in your head, because you haven't really seen it on a map, but this is not the Warehouse 4 pickleball deal. This is the Warehouses 9 and 10, which is south of 4 and then east of 4. It's kind of in the middle. Those are the ones that you've seen be like a skeleton for all this time because they were damaged so heavily in Sally. They were kind of rebuilding those because it was supposed to be the home of the Streamline Boats manufacturing facility that is now not going to happen. Really disappointing that that deal doesn't come to fruition, but, you know, so it goes sometimes. But this is now they're thinking, well, maybe we can use that for American Magic and some other things. And like she said, you got $11 million or so for the main project.
And then we have a dock and a boat ramp that will be utilized both by American Magic, but also by other port tenants. And in the future, it could potentially be utilized for sailing regattas and other type of tourism generating activities. So that brings us to a total project cost of a little over $14 million.
So $14 million all in.
The funding requests to date include a $5 million Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund request and a $10 million Triumph ask. So you see the total gives us a little bit of wiggle room and contingency.
So we're talking about, you know, putting those two sources together and basically coming up with the entire funding for the project if it all comes through. And if so, then, you know, basically we can move ahead with that. And it costs the city basically nothing to find a permanent home for all of American Magic and some additional things as well.
American Magic already has an agreement in place with IHMC so that they can work on some of these research and design and high-tech elements. They are in discussions with UWF 3D Manufacturing Facility for a really cool concept that would allow UWF engineering students to actually be a part of the process, the real-life, real-world process, to apply what they're learning in the classroom to this real-world endeavor. And that's something that's so unique. That's unique. This is the only place in the country that we would have that type of a relationship.
It's pretty special if we can manage to pull all of it off.
American Magic not only brings high-wage jobs and opportunity to really grow our tourism sector, but it provides these type of opportunities to enhance the educational capabilities of our youth here in Pensacola.
So that's something that, again, you know, this is just a presentation at Monday's Agenda Conference, just kind of giving folks a heads up of what we're trying to do.
We would be able to begin design and construction in the fall of this year. The goal would be to complete construction by winter of 2024, so that when American Magic returns from Barcelona in January 2025, they would be able to ship their equipment directly to their new headquarters.
Because again, they've left now to go for the competition and they're not going to be back for a little while, but the idea would be that they can come back and all of them come back.
Future project requests, partnerships would include the renovation and build out of Warehouse 9, which if you're not familiar with these two facilities at the port, is the smaller building in the picture here, the smaller building to the left. We are discussing right now with UWF using that to house their manufacturing, their 3D manufacturing lab. So we have an approximate project cost of $4 million to finish Warehouse 9 plus the programmatic cost. I would expect that UWF would put this funding strategy together and potentially have a triumph or an EDA request related to this project.
So, fingers crossed, we get all of this done. It winds up being all paid for by other people, which is always, that's always the best deal if you can pull it off. And so just kind of a we'll see. But that's what the mayor is trying to do with warehouse buildings 9 and 10 on the port, which, again, is different from the pickleball proposal that's on the table for tonight for them to look at, which a lot of questions have been raised by people who are concerned about the future of the port, future of the channel, future impacts on NAS Pensacola. Some, you know, the Propeller Club has raised questions about things like, you know, the submerged land lease access right of first refusal that that building comes with, which even though it's only been used for, you know, equipment storage, basically for Gulf Power for as longer than I've been here. The idea is that, their concern is that the Land of the West has one of the rail lines, not all of it, but, you know, it's one rail line. And then if you go west of that, then you have, you know, water access. And why would you need water access or rights to first refusal for that kind of stuff if you're really just building courts? Well, you know, there's a lot of concerns, okay? And, you know, yesterday I talked with the mayor about this and asked him point blank what his view is of the future, and he said, no, he's committed to keeping it a port, that, you know, the southern portion of the port is committed to that, and, you know, there's nothing changed. But you can hear that interview. We'll be replaying that in about 20 minutes if that topic is of concern for you. 517 on News Radio 92.3. Later on today, starting around probably 11, maybe as early as 10, and going until, you know, maybe somewhere around 2, we're going to have some fairly strong weather. A couple of inches of rain. If you look at the map, our News Radio ThreatNet radar currently shows some of this system west of us over New Orleans, or kind of not really over New Orleans, but kind of all around New Orleans. And then it's going to be coming east. And for a couple of hours this afternoon, you know, basically what Alan Strum said last night on Channel 3 was, it's going to be rain, it's going to be wind. It might be tornado-type weather. It might be hail. So you might potentially, you know, and am I the only one that thinks like, oh, cool. Like, you know, we could get hail in April in Pensacola, you know?
You are the only one that thinks
am
that.
Am I the only one?
When's the last time you had hail?
Oh, God,
it's not fun. You're going to get dents in the top of your car.
I don't know. That's why you have garages.
If we don't all have garages, it's Florida.
Saying if you have a garage, that's where the car goes. Yeah. Anyway, so
how he thinks.
And it takes big hail anyway to damage your car, and I wouldn't think it'll probably be that, but you never know. You never know. 518 on News Radio. So anyway, be prepared that this afternoon, midday, it's going to be some rough weather, and, you know, maybe you don't schedule your walk with the dog at noon.
Can I park my Jeep in your garage?
our garage is full. All full of cars. That's the way that works. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, obviously you want a great agent who's going to get you the best in either direction. Most if you're selling, least if you're buying. And look, Christina Leavenworth, she tells me that, you know, with the market the way it is right now, they've been getting some really good deals even on new builds. You might not think that, you know, go to a realtor to get a good deal on a new build, but yeah, for sure. You know, you don't just buy direct from the seller, but she can get you a good deal. But the part of the value of going to her is, you know, that whatever comes up in this process, she will take care of it. She will get the job done because she's used to getting so many deals across the finish line. Last year, more than 200. In fact, I think it was about 230. But part of the issue is when you hire a realtor, you got to think about their track record. You know, how effective are they? How often do they do this? Well, about half of all the realtors on the MLS, is about 3,000, about half of them, 1,600, didn't sell any homes in the first quarter of this year. Zero. Now, they might sell one this quarter. They might sell two next quarter. You know, it's possible. But there's a lot of realtors who in the course of a year sell fewer than five, you know, one or two or maybe none. Christina, you know, she had 36 that she sold in the first quarter and 29 more under contract. There's only 7 people in the whole area that have 30 or more, and she's one of them. So when you're hiring somebody to do work for you, do you want somebody who, you know, maybe did one or two last year, or somebody who did 200 plus last year? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, great pros, excellent results, 723-9158, or just look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? you make something better or create something new. Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
You play ball like a girl!
Can it be real? 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, bad singing. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. What?
What?
Shut up.
Kiss?
Oh.
I don't know this song.
Wow.
Oh, don't wow me, mister. We've already gotten two fights this morning, and it's only 522.
You don't know Miss America by Styx off of Paradise Theater?
I'm ashamed of myself, and I own Paradise Theater. That's true. Sorry.
You know. Okay, we'll just let this happen and move on. And
I have too much time on my hands.
Fixate on it the entire day. That's not going to make up for it. That's not going to make up for it either. Although, actually, you know what? I lied. I think this is actually off of Grand Illusion, not off of Paradise Theater. So sorry. Sorry, I made a faux pas there for a moment.
I was going to say, we used to dance in the front yard to Paradise Theater. That sounds worse than it is. But
David Wayne is in the newsroom, who I will wager a good 50 cents has never heard of either Paradise Theater or Grand Illusion. Did I win my bet?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely, you did.
Yeah.
He's a young gentleman.
Some of the best albums from before you were born. Go ahead. I always wanted to say that to somebody. From before you were born.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, look at me being old. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
The Massachusetts Air National Guard member accused of leaking classified military documents is due in court today. Jack Teixeira scheduled in federal court for a detention hearing. Of course, he's accused of sharing those classified documents, apparently on social media site Discord. Prosecutors call the evidence against him substantial and mounting. The president of South Korea will be addressing a joint meeting of Congress today. Yoon Suk-yeol, I hope I got that name right, has been meeting with President Biden at the White House this week. He'll be the first South Korean president to address Congress in 10 years. And Fort Lee, named, of course, after Confederate General Robert E. Lee, being renamed today to honor black pioneers that served in the U.S. Army. The Virginia base is being redesignated Fort Gregg Adams, the namesakes, Lieutenant General Arthur Gregg and Lieutenant Colonel Charity Adams. And Gregg, the only living person in the modern history of the Army to have an installation named for him.
Interesting. All right. Very good. I'm opposed to the renamings, but I've said this many times. It's. I don't think you can object to the new names, because of the ones that I've paid attention to and looked up their histories, they're all like, oh yeah, they need to have stuff named after them. Like amazing stories. It's just the unnaming of things of the past that I object to, because I find that I am allied with Steven Spielberg, who has now come out and basically put himself in jeopardy of being canceled because he says we shouldn't remake things in the past and change the record. Yeah, really interesting. David, thanks so much for the update. Really interesting interview. I watched some of it. It's about 17 minutes long. I watched about the first 5 or so minutes. I will say this. The guy from Time who was doing the interview at the Time Summit Time Magazine, which still exists. He's not captivating. But the questions and the answers that he got out of Steven Spielberg were very interesting, because the basic question was, do you ever feel the impulse to go back and edit any of your films, the ones that you look at through today's lens?
Looking back at your body of work, I know I feel, well, are there films you would edit that you would, looking back at them, say, I as an editor, I feel that way about some time covers, not yours. but is there a sense of, I know at one point you took some guns out of E.T. and then regretted
it. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. I never should have done that, because E.T. is a product of its era. And no film should be revised based on the lenses we now are either voluntarily or being forced to peer through.
Either voluntarily or being forced to peer through. Well done, Mr. Spielberg. That's exactly right. And if you don't know the film all that well, you remember the part where they go into the, I think it's, there's two parts where you mainly see this. One is where they're in the house, like rounding everybody up and taking over and putting in the vacuum seal on the whole house and all that. And they were carrying guns in that scene. And then there's a later scene, which, and I hope I'm not ruining it for anybody, but where they're all riding their bikes and they go to take off because E.T., being telekinetic, he lifts Elliot and their buddies all up off the air. Sorry, not to ruin it for anyone. if you can't give spoilers on E.T., what, 40 years later, you know, what can you do? Well, in that scene where they basically have the road barricaded and the cop cars, and the cops are kind of down, crouched. Both the cops have guns in their hands. One is a pistol, I think, and the other one is a very long-looking shotgun. I mean, it's enormous. And in the 20th anniversary edit of the film, they scrubbed the guns out of all the scenes and put walkie-talkies in people's hands. So they sanitized the film because he thought, well, I don't know. I mean, federal agents with guns and kids, that's a bad look. That's basically, you know, it's like, man, what are the, you know, Elian Gonzalez? So anyway, so they scrubbed that, and he says, I wish we hadn't. That I regret that decision.
But E.T. was a film that I was sensitive to the fact that the federal agents were approaching a bunch of kids with their firearms exposed. And I thought I would change the guns into walkie-talkies. But E.T. was, and that was because years had gone by, and I had changed my own views. I should never have messed with the archive of my own work, and I don't recommend anybody really do that. Your film, all our movies are a kind of measuring, sort of a signpost of where we were when we made them, and what the world was like, and what the world was receiving when we got those stories out there. So I really regret having done
that. Amen. That is exactly right. Don't go back in 1984 your own material, like so much of the American culture wants us to do now, with everything from, again, these fort names to statues and monuments, or the way things get referenced in books. It's disturbing.
You feel that way about, this is such a current topic across literature and art in general, taking certain language out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Is this a feeling you have across the world of art, that we shouldn't apply today's standards to yesterday's work?
Nobody should ever attempt to take the chocolate out of Willy Wonka, ever.
That's a great line.
You know, and they shouldn't take the chocolate or the vanilla or any other flavor out of anything that has been written. It is absolutely, for me, it is sacrosanct. It's something that is our history. It's our cultural
warts.
It's our cultural heritage.
Warts and all.
Yeah, I do not believe in censorship that way. Okay.
He says it real quiet there. He says, I do not believe in censorship of that kind, which is exactly what it is. And listen, people on the right sometimes are guilty of this. I think of, like, the trigger warnings for the Statue of David. Good Lord, man. You know, come on. Let the statue be what it is. It's amazing. And people on the left who want to, you know, sanitize this and make Charlie and the Chocolate Factory less offensive, or Dr. Seuss, or ban the book. It's just, it's bizarre to me. It's almost like it's the one place where we see some people left and right in agreement, we must cleanse everything. And some people left and right are like, no, we believe in free speech. We believe in art. We believe in the historical record. We believe in not censoring things of the past. not really censoring a lot in the present. Sometimes, but generally speaking, no. And certainly not just because you happen to show the guns of the federal agents approaching an alien life form in E.T. Let it be, brother. And good to see that he regrets that. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
A man was sentenced for making threats to a local high school. More after Fox.
On whether or not the debt limit gets extended.
President Biden says that's not negotiable. There'll be more testimony today from
the defendant. Carol also said she found Donald Trump attractive, but now considers him vile.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Carol was hosting a TV advice show when she says the attack happened in an apartment store dressing room in New York City in the mid-90s. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 71, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. There's an effort underway to change a law that would require Governor DeSantis to resign if he runs for president. An amendment to a state Senate bill filed yesterday, allowing any office holder to retain their position if they run for president or vice president. Could soon be a felony for hate groups to harass people for their religion or ethnicity. Now that the public nuisances bill has cleared the House and Senate, State Senator Lori Berman says the law prohibits people from throwing hateful flyers on private property, harassing them based on what they're wearing, or projecting harmful images onto buildings.
So I am proud to support this legislation. I would like to see it expanded.
And she says the legislation should also include gender-based discrimination and hate. The Anti-Defamation League named Florida the third worst state in the country for Jewish hate. The state attorney's office says they're in the process of rolling out an adult civil citation program here in Escambia County. State Attorney Ginger Bowen Madden made the announcement on Monday's Just Pensacola annual meeting. The program allows adults that commit nonviolent first-time misdemeanors to receive a citation rather than being arrested and having to go to court.
You wouldn't have people serving time or still on probation or still got their driver license suspended because of a $200 traffic ticket fine or because of they wasn't able to pay court costs.
Reaction from Hassan Hills, the founder of Youths Left Behind. He tells Channel 3 people would be forever grateful for a second chance at being a productive citizen. And Madden says as long as the offender completes a period of community service and possibly some online courses within 90 days, the misdemeanor charge would go away. The offender would simply need to complete a period of community service and an online course. Pensacola man will be spending 30 years behind bars for making threats to a local high school. Freeman Lindsay was sentenced on February 23rd after being found guilty on two counts of written or electronic threats to kill, do bodily injury, conduct a mass shooting, or conduct an act of terrorism. The charges stem from text messages and also public posts and private messages on Facebook, where he threatened to shoot Washington High School up back in February of last year. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as we go into the afternoon and evening. Weather alert day is a few storms could be strong, high near 75. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Some isolated showers still possible on Friday with a 30% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 71, mostly cloudy in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 when Molly and Angela from the First City Arts Center will be on the show talking about Create a Sphere Summer Camp for school-aged children and teens with theme-based weeks. Also, their Hot Glass Cold Brew event coming up May 5th in their 17th annual Pumpkin Patch. That's all today at 9 with the First City Arts Center and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
This morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Sonia Duquette with Chill Out Cryo Spa. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. Swimsuit season is almost here and you'll want to look your best. Find out how this morning at 10 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That is the theme music to bring Mayor D.C. Reeves of Pensacola onto the show. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I had a friend who, he's like, man, it's so good to hear that song. Like, I didn't, you know, I didn't think about them for a long time. He said, it's just really good to hear that song. All right, so we have a lot of things at the meeting tonight. You know, if last week's meeting, which was, I think, like 40 minutes, was a record-breaking short one, tomorrow night is going to be, at least in terms of substance, an awful lot of stuff. So let's get into it. The port and the pickleball, volleyball, what's the name of this soccer-esque game that they're also building? Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff in this. The concern that people have raised to me is that somehow or other, in giving them this lease, giving them railroad on the west side, some concern about water access, the theory is this. D.C. Reeves is just taking the first shot at ending a deep water port, and what this is going to mean in the long run is we're going to lose the ability to, you know, have dredging capability. We're going to lose the deep water. This is going to cost us the Navy base or access to it with, you know, deep water hulls and things like this. Can you address that concern?
Sure. Well, I'll start with I'm 39 years old, and the last lease on this building was 45 years ago. So, as I say, any customers, anybody out there that's interested in, we've got plenty of property at the port for plenty of maritime uses. So, you know, we can't chase ghosts in all of these uses and utilizations that are out there in some world of ambiguity, right? And so if we have these, we aren't turning these away. We have not spent 45 years turning these away. We have a 45,000 square foot warehouse that has been ultimately cargo. You know, 30% full at this point, at its maximum rent level, about $225,000 a year when it was just full with cargo. It needs upgrades. It needs improvements. It needs probably a roof north of $1 million. So there's a lot of different things that go into this warehouse in particular. And this is my philosophy about the port. And you could really tie it to both American Magic and this project, which is we have 50 acres in the heart of a vibrant downtown. That does not allow a port to have the economy of scale that a Panama City or a Mobile does in terms of cargo laydown area, all these different things that require lots of acreage. That doesn't mean we change the value of, we have rail that gets to the water. That's a huge catalytic value to the community. Yes, the existence of the port and its features not only help grow the economy on the port, it helps us have industrial uses in the rest of the community. So that in itself is an asset that I'm talking about. But so is using the puzzle pieces we have for economic development. Rent, $225,000 of rent in that building versus $25,000 in potentially regional tournaments, every weekend, every month, that will dwarf the market rate rent you would ever get in a building in that state, that size, that condition. So what I'm trying to do, American Magic, same thing. It doesn't make it any better or worse for our community, whether they're making parts for a boat in there or they're sailing out of that. Or at the end of the day, we have a finite amount of puzzle pieces of which we can play on 50 acres in the heart of a downtown. So we want to play them not just for the rent that they create on the profit and loss sheet of the port, but what they can do economically and how they can compound an economic value. And so I would say both port, strictly traditional port uses like the rail, like CMEX, like some of the things that are already there, cause catalytic value, as do both of these projects. And so I don't look at it as if they don't make rope or they don't make, horns for boats, that somehow doesn't mean that it's a functional port use and where it sits in the uniqueness of our community.
So I'm gonna ask you that
we're gonna go. We're gonna play the puzzle pieces we have.
So that all makes sense to me. And just because on behalf of the people that are asking me this other question, I'm gonna ask you the really almost awkwardly bare level question, which is this: DC, sure. Are you committed to keeping, the southern end of the port and the deep water portions of the port active, functional as a port, and all that comes with that in terms of the ability to justify dredging and the collateral value to NAS Pensacola, aside from the puzzle pieces on the north side that you're working with now?
As I've told the Propeller Club since the campaign, I don't see that it would be logical or functional for our community to lose the ability for rail, to lose the ability to have a port, and what that does, not just on the port, but in the rest of our county, rest of our region. So absolutely, that is a primary function of that location. So my plan is to follow the plan we have, which is the Moffitt Nichols study that suggests exactly as you just stated, as well as starting to be smart and logical and more innovative about how we could take the north part of the port and make that really shine for us economically. So there is a happy marriage there between traditional uses and trying to have a vision for the future. And that's the plan that I'm intending on following.
And by the way, the people who have raised this to me, my answer to them was, I cannot imagine a world where Clark Merritt and Amy Miller, the now port director and the former port director who works as your assistant city administrator, I can't imagine a world in which they wouldn't be equally committed. And their answer was, well, they work for the mayor. I'm like, yeah, but they wouldn't work. I mean, it's, I can't, this is not, I don't think that's the likely world that's coming. You and I have talked several times about Graffiti Bridge and your proposed warning system, the chimes that will play a beautiful melody when the wind is blowing. Who knows? I say the one concern that I've had raised, and by the way, thank you so much. It came out in the agenda conference on Monday. One of our listeners raised the question of, what about tall boats that are just trying to go to the boat launch? What about them? You guys are working on that and trying to make sure that you can accommodate that. I appreciate that on behalf of our listeners who asked the question and all the boat users. But I'll tell you the other concern that people have raised with me is, Andrew, can we not do something that's a little bit less ugly? is there not a way to get the end result and not be, that exactly? DC?
Yeah. Well, so, it's funny. I'll put my old journalism cap back on.
Yeah.
Probably a misstep I made was the photo that's out there was used as an example. We haven't even designed it yet, right?
Right.
So what it made me realize, now, it's just supposed to be an example of the concept, but I know better than that, and I've got people saying, that thing only, that costs $150,000?
Right.
Well, it's not exactly that. It might be, but that I know better. I should have known better and said, hey, let's have a more detailed photo of exactly what, the whole scale of this and closer to what it looks like instead of it's going to be something like this. But that's what design is for, So we can't really speak to that yet. Once we have the funding, we're going to be able to say, okay, here's design. And I'm sure we'll have alternatives. But at the end of the day, I mean, unless we were to do something much more expensive and, a screen, something like that, it's going to be a tangible structure,
right?
In some version. And it's going to probably chimes in some version. So I would normally say, hey, guys, let's not get ahead of ourselves based on that photo. But I've got to own that, too. I probably should have We probably could have messaged that better to say, this isn't exactly what we're doing. This is just the concept of what we're doing.
Yeah, sort of a big bright red note on that picture that said something like, just an idea for function. It will look better than this.
Exactly.
I appreciate that.
Exactly.
It'll
look nicer than this. Yeah, exactly.
The Malcolm Young gym, you said it's uninhabitable. Is this a what? Demolish it? What's going to happen with this gym?
Yeah, well, first step, because of the timing, the fact that we had a leaseholder, I had asked the structural, the GeoSyntec who was doing the structural assessment to basically say, hey, guys, you've already been through the building. I get it. We're waiting on the formal report, but tell me what we saw here, because it is time sensitive. The school's using it. If they say it, it's okay to have people in there, let's turn around and get them back in there. I just felt a duty to a leaseholder to work as quickly as possible. So that was the assessment they gave. So first step will be for us to take a look at exactly what it says. I imagine there'll be some cost estimate ranges if it isn't in this report that we would have soon after about if there was some kind of repair, but we just got to see what this report says. But from this point forward, speaking realistically, given what we know about this building, I think that there's the solution to renovate or replace the roof or the beams, I imagine, is going to be significantly upside down for the age and condition of the building. That's speculating right now, but we'll look at that report first, and then we'll make a decision from there. But I just want to speak in reality here that a project of that size and scale on a building that old, I'm guessing, is not going to be very pragmatic, but we'll see what happens.
Which makes sense, and I just know, sometimes buildings are too old and too messed up to be able to fix them, and so something else has to be done. And I appreciate you contextualizing that with, pending the report and subsequent information. We normally like to end with a lightning round, but I think instead of that this week, we're just going to talk about street sweeper names. we've cut down to 12. Three that I, four that I predicted would be on the list are on the list. Grim Sweeper, Lightning McQueen, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Sweeping Beauty. I've voted already and expressed my opinion along these lines. The way I hear it is you have different preferences.
Yeah, I'm partial to Dirt Reynolds. I don't know,
Candy's on board.
Envisioning the mustache that we put on the front of this thing or the Trans Am logo on
the the flaming Firebird. You'd put a mustache. Okay, I can see it. I can see that'd be funnier, yeah.
Yeah, as you're voting, I think you have to think about not just the best name, but how it could be best characterized on the vehicle. I think that should get a few brownie points whenever you're making these difficult decisions.
So so what I hear you saying is that you are committed not merely to just renaming, but you're committed to paint scheme. Is that what I hear you saying?
At minimum, yes, they will be labeled in an appropriate manner. I would not do a disservice to the community in such a way as to have them name these things and not have them have the proper name on the sweeper itself. If we're going to do this, we got to go all the way.
Okay, so as you say, I see mustache, I see Firebird for Dirt Reynolds. I start to see, of course, Lightning McQueen. I start to think about things like, which one can you paint like the A-Team van? That's what I'm starting to look at here among some of these alternatives. But, you've got to consider paint scheme in the process, which means perhaps that Sweeping Beauty, though by far the most popular one, I think, by acclamation on the suggestions, I'm not sure what paint scheme you do with that, so maybe that one doesn't work. Is it just going to be pure popularity on the votes, or is there still some executive input to be made on this?
Yeah, we're gonna pretty much stick to pure popularity,
okay.
And we tried. If you go on the vote, there's also one of them is different than the other two,
right.
And maybe that we wanted to get someone to say, hey, I like a name to the smaller one. This particular name versus the larger ones. And so so if you go on there, you'll be able to vote, specifically to each one. So we'll try to follow that as best we can. If there's a situation where one name was overwhelmingly second place on all three, obviously we'll factor that in as
sure.
well. But, we'll take a look at it. But it's been awesome. Honestly, we've got great feedback from it. And it's why we do these kind of things is it's not that we don't have major serious priorities, but I think it's good to show the community, to not only get some of their creativity, but to collaborate on a fun project and bring some awareness to the stuff that our hardworking
yes.
citizens and employees in the city of Pensacola do every day, you know, and bring a little highlight to that as well.
So, it is.
So we've been really excited about all the positive response and really the response period. All 1,600 names, and these boats are flowing in nonstop since we put it up yesterday.
It is literally good, clean, or cleaning fun. DC Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
We'll look forward to city council meeting next tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thanks as always for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Let's just say you get what you pay for. 550 on News Radio 92.3. 550 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great. You hear Dave Ramsey talk about them all the time. You hear me talk about them all the time. And you say, well, what makes them different? There's dozens of things that make them different. One example is they'll actually help you buy a car from somebody else. You said, what? Yeah, no, they will help you buy a car from somebody else. For example, every time you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you get the price sheet and then you get a Carfax. Carfax is the, I say it this way, not necessarily comprehensive maintenance history of that car. Because, you know, it depends on people reporting, right? But generally, it's a very good place to start. It's much better than having nothing, and it's a good information sheet, okay? I still recommend a used vehicle inspection by a mechanic you trust, but okay. So you get a Carfax, right? Well, if you go to somebody on Facebook Marketplace, you go to some corner lot somewhere, whatever, they may not offer you a Carfax. And why is up to them, but they may not. So it's real simple. What you do is you just call up Frontier and say, here's the VIN. Andrew says you'll get me a Carfax for free. And they'll say, sure, here it is. And then you'll know more about that vehicle in order to decide whether to buy it or not. So they'll literally help you buy a car from somebody else. Why would they? Because they can, because it helps. That's it. Because it helps. They just want to make sure that people are informed. Simple. So when I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Let's be honest. Nobody likes taxes. But they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else could pay our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 9 when Christy and Darren from Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli join and talk about what all they carry, what are the perfect meats to grill, and pair with some of the wines they carry. Call in with your questions. That's tomorrow morning at 9 with Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The quintessential 90s terrible great song.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, super repetitive, super basic, and we all super loved it.
That's right. There's like 100 people in the band that played two instruments and screamed a lot. And they're all activists, too.
Also, when the name of your band is Chumbawamba, mm-hmm. and the only thing you're known is the one song,
the drinking
the weird
song.
Face on the right. You know, like, you know. But would you rather have one song you're famous for or no songs you're famous for?
I know, absolutely. I'd rather be a one-hit wonder than a no-hit wonder.
Zero songs pay zero royalties. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The House approving Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy's bill to raise the nation's debt ceiling. The bill passed yesterday includes a $1.5 trillion debt limit increase with a package of spending cuts. Democrats calling on Republicans to raise the ceiling without those conditions to avoid a default.
You know what I think they should call it? They shouldn't call it the debt ceiling. They should call it the debt roof. And then we could call it the Raise the Roof Bill. No?
That's
nobody?
A really great. See, you should no, go I into
like
politics.
It. I like it. Yeah. Right. You've got you my totally vote like already.
Go ahead, David, with the actual news.
The civil suit Raise the Roof Bill. God, I love that. That's great. The civil suit accusing former President Trump of rape and defamation resuming today in Manhattan. E. John Carroll has accused Trump of raping her in a department store dressing room in the late 90s. Trump denies those claims. The Biden administration now suing the state of Tennessee. A lawsuit filed yesterday claiming the volunteer state's ban on gender-affirming care for minors violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. Republican Governor Bill Lee signed that bill into law there last month.
All right. And, of course, we've got a bill like that that's coming. We've already got the Medical Association has said that here in Florida. But the bill behind that or underneath it or side to it, I mean, two different levels of authority, right? You know, that kind of don't always agree. But in this case, we're trying to make them be in line with each other. So we'll see how this plays out. I think that's likely to wind up being a Supreme Court case. It may not need to be. Okay, it may not need to be. It could be under police powers for minors. But, you know, of course, the argument on the other side is going to be it's some kind of gender discrimination and or parental rights or some combination of the both. So I would not be at all surprised. I say 80% chance this is going to be a Supreme Court case. 437-1620, which, of course, would be relevant to us here in Florida and several other states that have also banned transgender surgeries and hormonal therapies. I'm personally not a fan, I've said this many times, of the gender-affirming care because that presupposes the viewpoint that gender is in the eye of the person who has the gender as opposed to being in the body of that person that can be observed from the outside. But, you know, these are philosophical differences, and sometimes that's what we talk about on this show. 557 on News Radio 92.3. Yesterday, the next phase in the relationship, if you can call it that, a dysfunctional relationship between the state of Florida and the mouse.
Disney just upped the ante in its fight with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The most magical place on earth is now suing DeSantis and other officials, alleging that a retaliation campaign was, quote, orchestrated at every step by Governor DeSantis as punishment for Disney's protected speech.
So what you've got here, and you maybe know the history, right? Florida legislature and Governor DeSantis put forward the parental rights bill, what critics call the Don't Say Gay bill, what I call the parental rights bill. And Disney says, that's stupid. You're wrong. It's wicked. And the state of Florida says, oh, weird. You've got this completely special legislative governmental district that you operate on. Why would you have something like that? And, you know, if look, as a corporation operating with special privileges in the state of Florida, maybe you shouldn't be talking that way about the things that the state of Florida does. Of course, critics, and I sympathize somewhat with the critics' argument here, that this seems like a punitive retaliation on the basis of stifling political speech, which, generally speaking, political speech is the core of the First Amendment. But nevertheless, that's what the legislature went ahead with and, you know, changed the rules so that Disney couldn't have that status. Late in the game, as Disney was about to change, they passed a change that passed the powers from the board over to Disney corporate. And then all of a sudden, we discovered this later. So now, and of course, there's been threats of putting a jail near Disney, or now they're going to, you know, investigate the monorail annually in order to make sure that it's safe, because that's, you know, not related to this other stuff at all. It totally is. And then now you've got this bill working its way through the legislature that would say that you cannot have changes of the basic governmental structure and power like this that go in less than 3 months before an already legislated major change in government, which is kind of what this would qualify as. But that to me looks retroactive. Trying to retroactively say that you can't agree to a contract that you already agreed to. So I don't think we're likely to win. And now, of course, Disney is suing and saying a variety of things, including stifling a political speech and forcing them to violate a contract. There's like five different cases, five different points to all of this. So, yeah, I mean, it's war. Legal, political, viewpoint warfare between the mouse and the
mouse. Listen on air at 92.3.